Hello, welcome to the I Am Jen Wilson podcast. I am Jen Wilson, Healing Rebel podcast. Oh, title is so long. Thank you for joining me today. Welcome if you are a new listener, and welcome back if you are a regular listener. If you don't already follow, subscribe, depending on where it is that you are watching or listening to this podcast, can you please like, subscribe, follow? Means you'll never miss an episode when it comes out, but it also teaches the powers that be, the algorithm, that what we have to chat about on this channel is useful for people and that they will get some benefits and that people need to hear it so that they share it out amongst the other people in the world. I'm just a tiny, tiny wee business trying to help out where I can. And today I wanted to explore the concept of anxiety. Now, anxiety is something that I didn't know I experienced until I knew. And you might be thinking, Jen, what? How is that even possible? So, for me, anxiety or a state of anxiety showed up as a state of alertness, being aware of everything that was going on around about me, looking for danger all the time. Is this something that all women experience? Possibly, very likely. You know, we don't go out and not have our keys in our hands with the keys between our fingers to just make us feel safe. We don't walk down dark alleys by ourselves. I don't walk through parks by myself. Park thing was a specific incident that happened, and I didn't realise that it was something that I didn't do until I tried to go for a walk around the park to make me feel calm and relaxed and amongst nature, and I came back feeling more stressed than when I had gone out, and I realised it was because I'd walk around in terror that I was going to have a duplicate experience of what I had previously experienced, which was at 8 o'clock in the morning, a man exposing himself to me, masturbating and shouting horrific things at me. Now, that happened to me back in 2001. And when I got to work and I told the people that I worked with, the boys all thought it was hilarious. So I thought then, I'm just being overreactive about this. But when I got home and I told my parents, they were like, you need to report this to the police. I reported it to the police, and I then, at a later date, had to go in and go to a lineup because possibly this person or somebody with very similar behaviours actually sexually assaulted somebody in a different location. So yeah, that was a little bit scary. So that underlying anxiety was there, but I moved around the world in this space of just being hyper alert, hyper vigilant all the time. It was only when I started going to therapy and working with different plant medicines and speaking to therapists that I was like, oh, every time I leave the house, I'm going running through my head, you can do this, 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 you can do this. Every situation I was putting in, this wee mantra was going on in my head. Now, that mantra got me out, got me doing things, got me being here, being able to do this podcast, that you can do this, you can do this, you can do this, you can do this. But that's not a calm space to be in. That's not a, you can do this child space. There's a difference. Now, in my exploration of the anxiety that I have experienced, because I remember, I'm just going to backtrack slightly here. I remember when I did my NLP training courses, and it being said then that all anxiety was you worrying about the future. All depression was you worrying about the past. Now, there is an element of that for sure, but any experiences that you've had are going to trigger those thought processes. They are going to create a pattern of why you think the way you think. Also, what is coming up more recently in the research literature on gut health is that there is a link between gut dysbiosis, so an imbalance of your gut microbes, and depression and anxiety. Now, I know that when I have had a Crohn's flare, that my mind is even more mental than it usually is. I get into states of paranoia. Now, I have enough self-awareness that I can almost watch myself do this. And I'm like, this person's trying to kill me. Oh my God, this person's trying to poison me. This person's trying to manipulate me. These are kind of thoughts that are going through my head, and I'm thinking, Jane, is this real? Like, are you sure? Only because I have been working with that inner voice, that inner chatter for a very long time. If you don't know what you don't know until you know what it is that you don't know. And then you start to learn. And then even when we know things, I would always question whether we really truly know them. But that's a whole other parallel universe, alternate theory kind of place to go to. We will work with, you don't know what you don't know until you know what it is that you don't know, and then you can start to learn. So listening to that internal chatter when your tummy's going, oh, and getting that really restrictive, tight, or noticing as well what physical manifestations come up in your body. So if you're doing something that makes you feel uncomfortable, you might not feel it in your tummy, you might feel it in your chest. It might be the shoulders coming up, it might be the jaw clenching, it might be your fists clenching, it might be something else. So I want you, if you are somebody who knows that they experience anxiety, to notice these little physical traits. Posture is incredible for changing our state. Now, I saw an article that was talking about more and more children are suffering with depression and anxiety than ever before. And then there was a picture of loads of kids side on, so you couldn't identify who they were, but they're all sitting slumped forward, heads down on their phone. Now, if you're in that posture all the time, that's going to change. That's changing your physiology. That's changing how you breathe. So that then triggers states of anxiety because you're shallow breathing, so your sympathetic nervous system's getting switched on. Oh, we're in danger, we're in danger, we're in danger. Your nervous system doesn't know that, no, you just had something really shit posture. You're just down here. Also, in this rounded space, if you are safe to do this right now, sit in this rounded space and then try and think and feel happy in this space. And then sit up with a tall posture, and if you can, as long as you're not driving, lift your arms up, look up towards the ceiling or the sky, depends on where you are, and try and feel sad, try and feel down. It's kind of, I'm sure there'll be somebody out there like, I can totally do that. I have been that person and I have tried to do sitting in that slump and try and feel happy. I'm sitting up here trying to feel sad. And it was just my mind playing tricks on me. I couldn't actually do it. I did feel better doing that. So if you are feeling a bit stressed, a bit anxious, can you take a nice big stretch, maybe a big yawn, link the hands together and have a lean back? Just open the body up, get things moving. That's gonna calm the breath down. It's gonna allow you to take fuller breaths. And when we can get a longer exhale than we have an inhale, that's gonna stimulate our parasympathetic nervous system, which is the part of our nervous system that lets us rest and relax. Now, other than that posture, I mentioned gut health. So if our gut health is imbalanced, how do you know if your gut health is imbalanced? If you've got depression and anxiety, there's a good chance that it is. If you're on any kind of medications at all, so contraceptive pill, depression and anxiety medications, what's that one? I can't say this word, a measure call, something like that. I don't think that's quite how you say it. It's one that a lot of doctors prescribe for some gut issues because they've been told just to hand these things out willy-nilly. I was speaking to a GP who said we didn't realise when we were dishing these out, like Smarties, that they were causing so much damage to the gut microbiome. So if you are on them, you need to look into this for sure. Any other medications, so even if you're taking paracetamol, aspirin, ibuprofen on a regular basis, that's going to disrupt your gut microbes. Ibuprofen is terrible for tearing the lining of your gut wall. Used to be my painkiller of choice until I got diagnosed with Crohn's and was told I wasn't allowed to take it. I didn't know that that was doing damage, so nice wee contributing factor there. So yeah, let's look at your gut health. Now, depending on what is going on with your gut, if you have inflammatory bowel disease or you have IBS, where your gut is constantly irritated, you suffer from diarrhea, you suffer from constipation. Even if you don't have these things, the recommendation is still go in slowly with when we incorporate fermented foods into our diet. So fermented foods are things like yogurt, natural yogurt, cottage cheese, kefir, kombucha, sauerkraut, miso. All of these things are fermented foods. So if you, I eat in the morning, I have a bowl of yogurt and I add some milk kefir to it. Milk kefir can be a bit sour for some people. So if you find it too sour and don't like it by itself, you can mix it in with other things. You can mix it in with smoothie, with a shake, with, don't put it in your tea or coffee because that will kill off all the gut bacteria. You want to have it in something cool or cold. Mix it in with your yogurt. And that will start to help give you better, a better profile of gut microbes. Now, when you start on this journey of working on your gut health, you need to remove as many of the ultra processed foods before. I have spoken about this on previous podcasts about removing ultra processed foods, explaining what is an ultra processed food. Anything that comes in a package that when you look at the ingredients, you would not be able to make that in your own home because there is shit in there that you don't know what it is and it's been made in a lab. That is not real food. Ultra processed food is not real food. It will damage your gut microbes. Any processed foods that have got more than five ingredients. So a processed food would be something like bread or pasta, where, I mean, if you look at a lot of these two items, when you look at them, they're actually ultra processed, but you can get some breads that are just flour, water, and yeast. If you eat sourdough bread, oh, sourdough, that was one I forgot. If you eat sourdough bread, it should just be flour and water with some starter, and then whatever seeds have been added to it, if you're getting one with seeds in it, there shouldn't be any other ingredients in it. I've forgotten what I was saying. Right, we're talking about processed foods. Processed foods, if they have emulsifiers in it, emulsifiers are things that change the texture of foods to make them seem more creamy. You get them in yogurts, cakes, smoothies, anything that's got kind of a creamy texture to it, look and see if there's emulsifiers in it. If there is emulsifiers in your food, do not touch them because they go in and destroy your gut microbes. But when we get a better balance of these gut microbes, they then help manage your hormonal system, your immune system, your hunger, your digestion, how your body absorbs nutrients. Because sometimes as well, depression and anxiety can be linked to nutrient deficiency. And it's not something, if you go to your GP and say, I'm feeling really anxious, I'm feeling really, really depressed, their first go-to is to give you a medication for it. Some of them might suggest speaking to a counsellor or going into some sort of talk therapy. Some, very few, might suggest getting out, going for walks. I doubt very much that many will say, let's run a blood profile on you and see if you're deficient in any nutrients. They don't know about this stuff. I've spoken about this before. They don't know. They don't get very much nutrition in their training. They get something like 8 hours in the 5 or 6 years that they're at uni. I did sport and exercise science. I had 3 years of nutrition. So big difference, big difference in when we're looking at the body and how to get it working optimally. So you could be deficient in something like magnesium, iron, B12, these things that kind of downregulate in your system. So checking, asking your doctor to run that profile for you, but you will have to ask for a printout of your results so that you can go and look, because just because you're in quote unquote the normal ranges for things doesn't mean that that's what's normal for you. It might be right on that borderline of being your, if say 10 was low and 11 was normal, if you're sitting at 11 and 100 is high and you're sitting at 11, then you might be far too low for you, depending on your gender, because I don't think that these normal ranges have been gendered identified. I believe that they were just based on males of a particular age, of a particular weight, back in the either pre-war or post-war days. You know, they haven't been updated for our day-to-day living, day-to-day life. So look at, get your print out, look at the numbers, and if you are sitting towards that low end, I would work on increasing. And if you're not sure what you're doing, work with somebody that will be able to read the blood test results and be able to give you some support on that. They can't do any tests through the NHS at this time for your gut microbiome profile. You need to think about your own health. What is it that you're eating on a day-to-day basis? Are you eating whole foods? Are you getting a wide, broad spectrum of fibre sources? Are you getting fermented foods into your diet? I spoke about this in a previous podcast as well, about the study that was in the Cell Journal that was comparing a high fiber diet to adding fermented foods in, and the people who added the fermented foods in had much greater or much better results, particularly in inflammation markers. Inflammation is another connection to anxiety and depression, and it's which came first, did the anxiety and depression cause the inflammation, did the inflammation cause the anxiety and depression? I had a conversation with a consultant on a call who was talking about mental health and inflammatory bowel disease patients, and one of my questions to him was, because of this research about the link between gut dysbiosis and depression and anxiety, could it be because people who have IBD, particularly people who are in flare, have disrupted gut microbes, gut balance? Could that be the reason that they're experiencing the depression and anxiety on top of all the other shit that you're dealing with? Grief of losing your life as it once was, not being able to move and function your body. Like, there's a lot going on, but also on top of that, that gut dysbiosis could be a driving factor of this. It's the driving factor of the disease. Why would it not be a driving factor of the anxiety and depression? And he was like, that's a really great question. It's one that needs to be researched. We don't have the answer to that. But if you start working on your gut health, regardless of what the research says, you know, research is lovely to have, it's nice to have, but it's not the be all end all, and it's only for those people. What is it for you? What is it that you can do for your health? If you're eating shit food, you're going to feel like shit. If you're eating good food, hopefully you feel good. But keep in mind that there's a spectrum of how your body is going to deal with things. So if you have got dysbiosis, this disruption of the gut microbes, and you're eating foods that don't agree with you, don't make you feel good, don't make you feel energized, then maybe your body's not able to break them down. So introducing some fermented foods, go slowly, start with a tablespoon at a time, see how your body responds. If you get a bit of diarrhea, that's the good microbes clearing out the bad guys, and this can take a little while to rebalance itself, especially if you have ever been on antibiotics, yeah, that was the right word. If you've ever been on antibiotics, like if you read the information leaflet on antibiotics, depression and anxiety are side effects to antibiotics, as well as diarrhea and gut inflammation. Anyway, that's because they're killing off all the good microbes. So if you have ever been on antibiotics and haven't done intentional work to restore the gut microbes, then please do that. Please, please, please do that. Should you take probiotics? The jury's out A lot of the probiotics are synthetic versions of microbes that will come in, hang out there for maybe that day, and then they will transit straight through and out the other side. Fermented foods have been shown to be the most beneficial. A lot of fermented foods, if you're eating things like sauerkraut, you get the double whammy of having the gut microbes, the microbes in the food, but then also the fiber from the veggies that go in and help populate and help feed the microbes. If you're only having kefir, for example, which is a milk product, now if you're lactose intolerant, you should, and I'm going to say that in quote marks, should be able to take kefir, because what happens is when the bacteria goes in, it eats the sugars from the milk. So people who have a dairy sensitivity or dairy intolerance can sometimes tolerate kefir because the lactose is no longer there. If you are allergic to proteins and dairy, then the milk kefir is not going to be any use. You can get dairy alternative kefir and water kefir. They just have different grains, so you need to research that and get different grains for it. If you're having kefir, you want to have some fiber source with it, so some fruit or some seeds. So I make my own granola. It's got gluten-free organic oats. It's got loads of different nuts and seeds. I also use some spices, so some cinnamon, some nutmeg, to just give it that nice warming taste. Mix all that through. I don't add in any dried fruit to my granola because it just makes it too sweet for me, and I don't have a sweet tooth. So adding those things in helps feed those microbes that you've just had with the kefir. So if you can create this nice little cocktail, add them in and see how you feel. My friend Janice runs a group, and the number of people that I see in here, Janice has been on this podcast a few times, and if you've ever listened to Janice or met Janice, you will know that she is just a bundle of energy and enthusiasm for all this gut health stuff. Go back and listen to her podcasts with me previously. But there's loads of the women in her group that can report back saying that they have got reduced symptoms from whatever health condition that they're experiencing. Anxiety is reduced, depression's reduced. Some of that will be part of being a community. Some of that will be because they are working on their gut health and they're being much more conscious of that. I want that for you. I want that for me. I want that for you. I started bringing in extra fermented foods on a daily basis since the end of June 2023. This is now middle of September. That's what I think middle of September 2023, and I have noticed a big difference. So I had had diarrhea for more than a year from being on antibiotics in 2022. I was eating loads of fiber because my gut can cope with loads of fiber, but wasn't getting any benefit from that. Once I started adding in the fermented foods on a regular basis, that's where I started to get the benefits, started to really notice a difference in my body healing and getting more energy, less symptoms of what was going on. So I do highly, highly, highly encourage introducing some fermented foods for your gut microbiome, and that's going to help in the broader spectrum, bigger picture. Now, also, before I sign off for today, I want to tell you about the Healing Rebel course, the Healing Rebel Mastery. This is a membership you can join from today. I will put the details in the information about this show. So if you're watching it on YouTube, it will be in the comments. If you are watching it or listening to any of the other platforms, it will be in the show description. The Healing Rebel Mastery course is going to be for you if you are sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, if you are fed up feeling unhealthy, and know that there are simple things that you can do to make yourself feel better, and you'll be part of a community that will help hold you accountable, that will support you on this journey. Every month we're going to have a different topic, and we're going to start off first month with digestion and lymphatic flow. So sounds like there's two themes there, but both of them are interlinked. When your body can properly digest food and your lymphatic system is properly clearing out those toxins, then we can get nutrients in, get waste out much more effectively. That's where we're going to start. So if you want to join us, check out the information in the description and in the comment in the chat bit. If you've got any questions about it, reach out to me, post a comment, reach out to me, or check out my website. I am jenwilson.com/heal, and you will get the information on there. So excited about that. Can't wait to have you on this healing journey with me. If you're not sure if it's for you, please do reach out, have a conversation. If you're not sure it's for you, but you want to join. And if you are good to go right now, get in there, join us today. There is a special offer for founding members. So please do make sure that you don't miss out on that. And that is all I want to say today. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you've been enjoying these new episodes. The other week, we had Julie from Unicorn Cup on. Coming up, I've got Lisa from The Witch Dog from Whole Dog Care. I've got some other exciting guests coming up that I can't wait to have conversations with to speak to you. Who else have we had previously? Chris Tuck. Chris came on and was talking about trauma and healing from trauma. Leanne was talking about living well with arthritis. I think she was my first guest back on. I've been on talking about a variety of different things. So please, if you haven't already listened in, tuned in, check them out. If you know anybody that needs to hear this, if you know somebody who's suffering with depression and anxiety and needs maybe an alternative way to look at things, please do share this podcast with them. Anybody else who you think will benefit from this, share, share, share. And thank you very much. I am sending my love to you and hope everything is going well. Have a good one.